In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It seems especially fitting that on this day, this particular first Sunday in Lent, that Luther's quintessential Reformation hymn is sung. It's fitting for just about any occasion, and the first Sunday in Lent is one of those. But this year, Invocavit also happens to fall on the anniversary of St. Martin Luther's death, February 18, 1546. It is said that from his deathbed, Luther uttered the words, as you heard Wednesday night, "Wir sind alle Bettler, hoc est verum." We are all beggars in German, and this is the truth in Latin. It is true that in the sight of God, you have nothing. You bring nothing to him to appease him. You do nothing for him to please him. You are, as it were, a beggar in his sight. You can only receive from him. Therefore, you need what he has to offer. And what he has to offer is a reversal of the very curses that he pronounced as Adam and the yet-to-be-named woman were expelled from paradise. You need to hear the very words that the God in flesh, Jesus Christ, uttered to the repentant thief. "Today you will be with me in paradise." And therein is the kicker. For the very God who says that and can do that to you has taken on flesh and subjected himself to the very same temptations with which you suffer. He was conceived and born, having suffered the trauma of childbirth, which no god in all of mythology could claim to have done. He grew and knew what it was like to be hungry and thirsty, to learn and grow, to become a man. He experienced also the pains of shedding blood, certainly at his circumcision and in his passion, but it is conceivable that in growing and learning to walk, he may have tripped and bruised his knees. Perhaps he even brushed up against something sharp and cut himself. Nowhere does it say that he did. Nowhere does it say that he didn't. What it does say, the very word of God recorded for you, is that immediately after coming up out of the waters of his baptism, whereat he was revealed to those who heard the thunderous voice from heaven to be the Son of God, he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. The yet-to-be-named woman and her husband Adam were also tempted by the devil. He caused the wheels of doubt to start spinning in their heads, and they denied the word of God that Adam himself heard from the very mouth of God. Few since have had the same privilege, yet all since have continued in Adam's denial. And as Adam and the yet-to-be-named woman were tempted and fell, so you too are tempted at every turn and fall. The devil is still a crafty demon, able to seduce you with whole lies and half-truths. And though you may have just read a passage in the Scriptures, he easily convinces you that it is false, that just like he did with your father and mother in paradise. Yet for you fights the valiant one. This one whom God elected fights for you at every turn. Think about it this way. The devil knew that Jesus had come to conquer him. He knew the moment of Christ's birth that Jesus was born to crush his head. And so the devil tried to prevent him from doing that many times. From the murderous rampage of Herod to Peter's telling Jesus that he won't die after the Son of God predicted his own passion and death. And at times, scribes and Pharisees sought to stone him and throw him from cliffs, yet it was not his time. Even as he hung dying on the cross, the devil thought he had escaped the sentence pronounced on him back near the beginning of time. But remember the descent into hell and the proclamation of victory of the Lamb to the souls in prison. The devil's time is up. He is a conquered enemy. Though he still prowls like a lion for a soul to devour, nothing can snatch you from the Savior's hand, although you may elect to jump out of it yourself. God grant that never happen. And so the devil tempts. He places his lures right before your eyes. He concocts whole lies and half-truths that appeal to you, just as the fruit on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil appealed to the woman and her husband. I'm not going to list your temptations, unless you've told me I don't know them. But you know that should you follow them, the path they pave leads right to the lake of fire prepared for that crafty devil and his angels. Again, God grant that you do not succumb to these temptations, and that when you do, you find restoration in the healing absolution of God. Still, the devil knows you. He knew Jesus too, and what would appeal to him? Bread that would satisfy the stomach of one who had been fasting for 40 days. He knew perhaps that he would want to test the love of his Father, to send angels to guard him and protect him. He knew that power and glory is always tempting. He fell to the same temptation, after all. Any lesser man would fall to these. The lure of food and the taste of power and glory can be sublime. But not Jesus. Jesus rebutted the devil's advances, countering them with the clear word of God. Earthly satisfaction and power and glory don't compare to the heavenly riches that were and continue to be most rightly his. And Jesus was resolutely set on a mission to win your salvation. This temptation by the devil is but a speed bump along the way, albeit a necessary one. In other words, the devil's whole lies and half-truths weren't going to stop the Lamb of God from giving his life as your ransom, but he had to overcome them as the way to set right the temptation in paradise near the beginning. They did provide for Jesus a measure of what you experience in your own flesh. Flesh and blood himself, the God-man Jesus Christ, tasted every bit of the devil's strength and in tempting mankind. He fully identified with you as the devil tempts him, even as he has already identified with you in the waters of the Jordan, receiving a sinner's baptism. Therefore, he was able to be fully you as he died on the cross, so that you in him would fully be the righteousness of God. Temptations will come alluring. That is part and parcel of the devil prowling around like a roaring lion. They are, in a manner of speaking, promised to you. But the Son of God became man and died for you that you may have a way out from under those temptations. And that way is Jesus Christ himself. You have been placed in him by way of the waters of holy baptism. He has revealed you to be a son of God and heir with Christ of all that he has won by way of his death and resurrection, which is the patience and endurance to stand up against the devil's temptations. He is that trusty shield and weapon and the grace and healing to restore you when you do fall, which is the forgiveness of all of your sins. And for that, the curse is reversed, and you will be with him in paradise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.